Church, I'm so happy to be with you this morning. My name is Josh Brown. I'm the youth director here at Grace Church, and welcome here. If you're doing home church, solo church, or campus church, we are very happy that you are here. The video that you just saw has been some thoughts and questions that I've been working through over the past little bit, especially in light of everything that's happening down in the States, the global conversation we're having about race and racism. These kind of questions have really percolated in my mind. Questions like, what do we define as human? Are we participating as humans well? What are we? What is our mission? What is our motive? And so these are the kinds of questions that I would love to look at with you this morning. Janaea just read a wonderful story about a boy named Amar, who is wrestling through a very similar question as he looks at what am I, what am I for specifically, as he looks towards purpose. And so these are the kinds of things that we are going to look at this morning. And so I remember actually sitting in my room as a teenager. I don't know if you can relate to this at all, but when I was a teenager, I would often sit in my room at nighttime, late at night, sitting on my bed, listening to my music, and often I would be contemplating my place in the universe. This is somewhat of like a rite of passage, I feel, for each teenager to get into this zone of, who am I? What is my place in the universe? What am I here for? Right? When we look at these questions as teenagers, we really work and live out that question. But as time goes on, sometimes we seem to drop that question. But deep inside, that question still resides. What am I here for? What's going on? So what I want to do with you, church, this morning is actually look at that question. I want to look at the question of, are we really human? And what that all looks like. I want to trace a theme of humanity throughout the Bible. And so, I want to look at that this morning with you. Is that all right? I'm trusting that you're saying yes this morning. So as we look at this question, it brings about a tension. Because on one hand, we look at our humanity, and whether or not we're doing it well, we can look at some of the accomplishments that we have been able to achieve. We can look at the scientific, the technological, the humanitarian accomplishments, and we can be like, wow, we're so good, right? If you think about like even like your phone that may be in your pocket or that you're watching this on right now, like that's a massive accomplishment. Just 30 years ago, technology looked massively different. I mean, even right now, looking at the fact that we're doing church online and I'm speaking to you via video, like this is a huge change. I was talking to someone last week. If we were to do this 15 years ago, if COVID happened and this massive lockdown and the isolation and quarantining, and all, if all that happened 15 years ago, just 15 years ago, which would have been 2005, things would have looked drastically different. Small churches might not have been able to function as we didn't have access to technology the way we do now. And so we can look at ourselves and be like, wow, we're really, really great. I mean, we put a man on the moon. Like, that's pretty cool. But on the flip side of that, we're really not so great. If we look at some of the atrocities that we have participated in as humans, if we look at the countless amount of wars that we have participated in, if we look at even the simple thing of slavery, if we've looked at just that issue and its many different forms throughout our entire history as humans, human trafficking, sex trafficking, just like owning people and making them work for you, like this, like that's an awful thing that as humans we have been a part of. So on one hand, we may look great, but in the same breath, we don't actually look as great as we can think that we do. And when we take our good and our bad, and we actually line that up with our original intention, we will notice a massive disparity, massive difference, because things were not always like what we experience. there was a different reality. If you go to page one of your Bible, to Genesis chapter one, you're going to notice that God speaks into existence a beautiful world, and he appoints individuals to look over it. So verse 26, 27, and 28 of Genesis chapter 1, it reads like this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is the foundation story of humanity. It's the origin story. I remember when I was living in Ontario with my family, something that I did to connect with my dad, we would go and watch movies together, specifically superhero movies, Marvel movies. And back when they were starting to really get a lot of traction and people were really watching these movies, I really appreciated them because they were the starting story. So we watched movies like Iron Man, The Hulk. We watched movies like Thor and these other kind of Captain America and these other movies. And so we looked at these movies and we watched them and consumed them and thought it was great. And then all of a sudden, another movie came out called Avengers, which kind of collected all of these stories and brought them together in a new narrative. And what I really appreciated about Avengers was that the story seemed so rich. And as I contemplated why that was, it was because I looked at the origin stories of each of the characters. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to look at our origin story because it helps make the story become more alive when we look at our own origin. So let's look at that this morning. So just like in any Marvel movie, our main character in humanity's origin story, we get a purpose, a mission as to what we're going to do. So verse 26, 27, and 28 lay out that purpose, that we are to be ruling representatives. So verse 26 and verse 28 say that we are to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, rule over the livestock, rule over all living creatures. We are to rule. Furthermore, in conjunction with that rule, we are to be representatives. We are created in God's image. We are to be these ruling representatives. We are, in essence, to be like an ambassador. I remember going on school trips, and they would always give us this talk, whether it was for a sports team or for whatever. They would always give us this talk. You guys are ambassadors of our school, so don't do anything stupid. And of course, we'd go and do something stupid and get in trouble, and our school would look bad. An ambassador is someone who represents and acts on behalf of an individual or an organization. And in this context, in Genesis context, we have Adam and Eve. We have humanity who is acting as an ambassador for God, as they are ruling over for the sake of God's goodness, his love, and his life. They are to bring about a nurturing world. They are to steward on God's behalf. It's the image of a gardener. I love that the author of Genesis uses the image of a garden because it is the illustration of a gardener. I was a landscaper for a while, and I remember one time I was planting lavender on a job site, and I made this beautiful hedge of lavender. And months later, as I was driving past my job site with my wife, Janaea, We drove past, and I said to Janaea, I said, hey, look at the plants that I made. And on one hand, I can totally claim that, right? I was the one who went into the dirt and planted it. I can totally claim that I made those plants come to life. But on the same hand, I can't claim that at all. I was not the one who actually caused it to grow. This is the tension that the ruling representatives live in, where they are ambassadors. They are representatives of God, bringing forth his life and his love to the world around them. But it's God through them that's actually bringing this to being. We become true humans who reflect the life and the love of their Creator. This is what the ruling representative looks like. It sounds all great, right? But if we take one moment to look at the world around us, we notice actually that's not the reality that we're experiencing now. We don't have this lush paradise in which we're bringing forth this life in this way, because there's the reality of death. And the hardest, I think one of the hardest parts about our broken world is the fact that we are the cause of it. Like you and me, every human that has lived and is living, we are the cause of this broken world. It is because of something that is deep-rooted in our hearts, that has taken over. It's seized autonomy from God, desiring to push him away. The Bible uses many different words for this: sin, transgression, iniquity. But all these words they point to a reality that there is something fundamentally broken about our world. And this is what we see in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve when they seize autonomy from God. This is what we see. It's their brokenness in the world. It's them seizing their autonomy and bringing about brokenness. This is what we see even in the next chapter, in chapter 4. Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve, the offspring of Adam and Eve, they bring forth what into the world? Cain brings forth what? He kills his brother. He seizes autonomy for himself, chooses to define good and evil on his own, and kills his brother. It's a result of seizing autonomy for oneself. And this is what happens to us. It happened then, and it happens now, this brokenness. When we choose to define good and evil for our own, we are perpetuating a broken state in our world. And it manifests itself in a couple of different ways. Like when we say, oh, I'm just not going to look at the poverty that is being experienced in my city because, oh, they put themselves there. That's brokenness. That's us choosing to seize autonomy for ourselves and define good and evil on our own. When we disregard our environment around us, the world around us, and we define good and evil for our own, when we disregard it and say, oh, it's too much of an inconvenience for me to participate in helping out the environment by whatever it is that it may be. That is brokenness that we put forward in our own, in our world. When we have a hatred towards another people group. Let's say, for example, the liberal left. When we have a hatred towards them. And we justify it in our hearts because, oh, they keep messing up. They don't know what they're talking about. That is us choosing good and evil for ourselves based off of our own standards, and that brings about brokenness. It is when we have intentional ignorance towards the racist disposition others have in our community towards the Indo-Canadian neighbors that we have. When we turn a blind eye towards those comments and those thoughts that are put forward, that is us seizing autonomy, defining good and evil on our own, and the result is brokenness. It is not what God intends. This is what we see when you and I seize autonomy for ourselves. And when we do this, we lose a piece of our humanity. Becoming broken humans. So how are we doing so far? For some of you, this might be really challenging. And hear me out when I say that I hope that it is. Because in your recognition of the challenge, you're recognizing the need for change. Your recognition of the challenge brings a desire for change. And I think that's a very good thing, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to live continually in a world of brokenness. So we've looked at how humanity has been created to reflect God by partnering with God in ruling and stewarding this earth. However, a problem arises when we choose to push God out of that partnership and rule on our own standards. This is where we've been so far. We are ruling representatives who have become broken beings. And so we need to take a look at one more origin story, because it makes this whole picture complete. See, God's heart, it hurts for this world, and he knows that the result of our actions is going to kill us. And so he has designed a plan to rescue this world. He knows the results of what's going to happen. Go read Genesis chapter 3 and read God's response to humanity after they realize what they have done. It will break you. It has brought me to tears many times. Because he knows what is going to come from these actions. So he devises a plan to rescue this world. And he chooses one individual whose family will represent him, similar to our original calling as ruling representatives. So Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, shows this account. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples," this is the big portion of this, "all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Some of your Bible translations may say all nations. But the reality is, whether it's nations, all people, it's pointing to an understanding that the whole world is going to be blessed through these representatives. So he uses Abram and his family as ambassadors for himself. And so what happens is that God partners with his people at four distinct times in the Bible, using this partnership to renew his partnership with all of humanity. These are called covenants, and it happens four times, four promises or partnerships that God makes. And from this emerges this people called the people of God, also can be called Israel in the Bible, who are to rule, they're to rule God's way, showing off his kingdom, showing off his dominion. I remember when I was in Ontario with my family, we would be rolling up from a dinner function or something in the middle of the summer at nighttime. And what we would do is we would roll up to our house and we'd shut the lights off of the car and we'd sit there for about a minute and a half. The reason being is that mosquitoes are really, really rampant and strong where my family lives. Specifically because of the humidity and also the cedar trees that are around us. And so what we do is we shut the car off for about a minute, sit there, and then collectively all at the same time and with as much energy as possible, we rip open the car doors and run to the house as fast as we can, open the door all without turning the lights on, and then shut the door, make sure that we're all there, and then finally we turn the lights on. The reason being is because the mosquitoes are drawn to the light. They attack the light. They're hungry for the light. And so we need to be cautious and not turn on any of these lights. Otherwise, we'd be attracting the mosquitoes. And see, that's what God's people were meant to be. They were meant to be the light, a beacon, pointing others towards what God is like and what life is like under God's dominion. The people of God were placed in a partnership with God for the sake of showing the whole world about how great God is. But there's a problem and a tension in the story. And that's because humanity is still broken. We've gone from rightful ruling representatives to broken beings. And even though God is bringing about a healing humanity, we're still broken. And so suddenly something is exposed in the Bible that is repetitively unveiled time and time and time and time again. And that it's that even if we are given the way to live life right, even if we're given all the rules, the ways in which we are to not participate in brokenness, we are still going to fail. We are still going to fail. This is the tension of the Old Testament. And the result is that we are not truly human. We are not living to what we were intended to be. We are not truly human, and we are unable to live out our true calling. And this is where many of us find ourselves now. Many of us kind of find ourselves in this position of being these broken humans, trying to live out our calling, but failing miserably. And so in the midst of this tension, a person emerges. It's not the person that you think, not yet at least. His name is Daniel. And he has a vision about one who's going to come. And in this vision, it's played out like this. In my vision, at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. So that's a human. Who is coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days. That's a metaphor for God. And was led into his presence. And there he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples. Did you catch that? All nations and all peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It's not going to pass away. And this kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So Daniel speaks about a ruling human who will rule God's way, bringing about his life in his love forevermore, being the human that God intended all of humanity to be. And this is what we see in Jesus. This is what makes Jesus so good, is that he becomes the good ruler that we could not be on our own. He fulfills the partnerships that we could not fulfill. He becomes the human we could not be by ourselves. He becomes the rightful ruler. This is the resolve in the story. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But what does his rule look like? His rule, as Janaea read earlier in the story of Amar, his rule looks like this. So from an account of Jesus' life, written by Mark, one of Jesus' followers, Mark says this: "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating." That is a group of people in Jesus. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him this question: "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus says the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." So Jesus teaches that his way of life is to love God and to love others. That is the way in which we were intended to rule, to love God and to love others. He best lived out this kind of rule, though. So this is the resolve to the resolve. He best lived out this kind of rule through his death on the cross, taking on the full weight of the brokenness that we as humans have unleashed into this world, death. He took upon the full weight of the worst that we could throw at him, death. And he showed us what life is really like. He's an example of what it means to truly live, to rule well. He is the truly human one, living into humanity's real calling. See, humanity is meant to reflect God and bear his characteristics and his mission. So here's what had to happen. God needed to make himself man. He needed to make himself human in order for us to see what it actually looks like, in order for us to actually see what God is like. So he served as an example, but moreover than just being an example, with Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, he frees us into a new humanity. So we go from being ruling representatives to broken beings, and God infusing his plan and having us be a healing humanity. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and he becomes the rightful ruler so that he can take humanity home. He gives us a new humanity. He makes us different. He changes us. We no longer go and live out a broken state any longer because Jesus has freed us from that. See, Jesus was not held captive to the problems of the human heart. As he is imperfect harmony with God and his Spirit. He's perfectly infused. And so if that's true, those who trust in Jesus, they receive a new humanity because Jesus has power over the brokenness in the human heart. So this is where you and I actually come into the story. We can see ourselves in bits and pieces throughout the story, but here's where you and I actually really come in contact with the story. Because we are broken beings. Firstly, we are ruling representatives who have become broken beings. And God has stepped in and he showed us the rightful way to rule. And through his death and his resurrection, we can live. Me and you can live as new humans. We can live as true humans. Humans who we were intended to be. We are free to live out the love and the life, the purpose that God has set us out for. So here's why this is important for you and I to look at today. Because I don't want this just to be a nice reminder. This is massively important for you and for me. It's because there's a hope. There's a hope for us. Because right now where we're at, it seems so difficult. When we look around at the brokenness everywhere and we don't know how to turn to the left or to the right, we don't know what to say, we don't know what not to say, we don't know. There's so many things in which we don't know. There's so much brokenness that is present in our world. The story of Jesus gives us a hope for a new humanity. And we get to live out that humanity. As followers of Jesus, we get to live out that humanity now. And that's a beautiful thing. We get to live out what it means to be truly human now, sharing and participating in the life and the love that Jesus has for us. But also, there is a hope and a future. Revelation 22. It reads like this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. What that is there is that's a picture that was given to a guy named John. It's a picture of what will be one day when all is said and done, and the evil and the chaos and the brokenness of our world is put away with. There is a hope for us to be a people, a humanity, God's people in his kingdom, living out in our home, living out our purpose forevermore. That is the hope in which we hold on to if you follow Jesus. And so for those of us who follow Jesus, hold on to that hope. Embrace each broken moment knowing that God is using you to bring about his life and his love and his home. You can face isolation. You can face COVID. You can face the conversations about race and racism, knowing that Jesus is bringing about his home. But if you're not a follower of Jesus, it's important for you to look at this, Because right now, the worldview that's being spoken to you is that you are going to fix your problem. That we as humans are going to fix all of our own problems. And listen, that has never been the story of the Bible. It's never been the story of history. We have always made things worse when we leave things to ourselves. There's no amount of governmental reform. There's no amount of political change. There's no amount of work that we can do now that will solve our problems. Some things may help, yes, but it will never solve our problems. We need Jesus. We need a new humanity. We need to live as true humans. But that's only done through Jesus. So I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross, that he showed us what it's like to rule, to be your citizens. We are so thankful for how you have rescued us from our brokenness, and you have brought about a new kind of peace that we can experience now and we will experience forevermore. And I ask for anyone who is thinking, considering, wondering about following you, and if it's worth it, I ask that you would press upon their hearts the understanding that yes, it is worth it. You are worth it. I pray this in your name and through the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen.